67, you're to be planning the zoning commission? We have an agenda here. Any additions or changes to the agenda? Any recommendations?
Move to accept.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we can take a few moments to read the comments. Does anyone recall if we talked about the July meeting?
I don't believe we did.
No, no, we didn't.
For some reason, I was asking Ms. Kathleen, but.
I need to talk about that.
I thought we did.
There's no conversation.
Okay. It was in my notes, I'm sorry. Okay. Any recommended changes to minutes?
I have one, Chairman. On page five, although I appreciate the vote of confidence, I don't think I'm the chairman. I think Attorney Eldridge would be sufficient there. Right above motion, about the middle of the page.
Someone's got a promotion there.
I'm looking for that paycheck.
Hey, I get it, pretty.
I guess.
Maybe it was me, maybe it was Chairman.
Also, you can put the rest of my name on the motion underneath. I don't know how detailed it would be good.
Sorry.
Any other changes? I feel a recommendation that they be approved with those two changes.
I make a recommendation to approve the minutes with those changes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Have anyone to address council, public comments? Not council, I'm sorry.
We applied for a landscape permit yesterday.
Name and address, please.
Carleen and Steve Frixell, 302 Sixth Avenue, 7. There are no structures involved, and we want to do part grass, part crushed granite, and a little bit of depth material that is, of course, the water can go through. Part of it only, well, it all goes up to the road. But the question, John thought maybe we should come to the meeting tonight because you were talking about setbacks.
Sort of ties into everything, we're sort of a sample, and we were going over, John and I were going over different things that, you know, we just saw confusion with, and thought this is a good time to bring it out.
Yeah, we don't have any structures, decks aren't considered structures. I looked that up in the code book, they're considered porches, and porches aren't considered structures either in the code book. So we're here tonight just to get our own heads straight with what we knew the agenda was tonight, and hopefully we can get our permit issued. The question was partially using some grass and some granite. We have, we're concerned about some off-street parking. We have a one-car garage because it couldn't be any bigger than that because of the setback. So even when we have two cars, whether we parking in the median, which we didn't want to do. We wanted to have adequate off-street parking without parking in the median or parking on Grand Hill Empire Resort grass, which we are replacing because we lost our grass to the Scotts Weed and Feed disaster a few years ago. So that's why we're here.
A couple of basic questions. I don't see the gravel issue or the granite that we want to use. I don't see anything in the code that says you must plant grass. So whether it's the right-of-way, whether it's the setback, whether it's our yard, I don't see why there's should be any issue with. We were approximately about 800 square feet of zoysia grass, and the rest we're going to do in gravel. So I don't see anything that restricts you from choosing your material. That's number one.
Have you applied for the permit?
Right, well, John and I were working on it, and again, we both left it as maybe we'll come to this meeting because we didn't quite see eye to eye exactly on the interpretation. And so, again.
So what you laid out for Mr. Batson, he said we ought to change this.
Like, for instance, John was suggesting that with the gravel, we should only be 8 feet wide in the right of way till the end of that. But I'm saying, why? In other words, what restricts me from, instead, okay, 8 feet wide, and then if the other area is grass, that's fine. Well, if the other area is three-quarter granite, what's the objection? It's permeable. It's just that we don't want that much more grass to contend with, and they're just little strips that get in the way. If I wanted to do my whole yard in three-quarter inch granite, where in the code says I can't do that? And I don't want to do that, but I'm just saying I don't see any restriction on the amount or the square footage that you can do on any given lot. You know, it doesn't say you have to plant grass anywhere in the code that I can see.
You're not part of any HOA, right?
No.
No. And then
I am, and I have like a ton of restrictions on grass and granite and everything.
The contention, the idea with the walkways is just so we don't beat a path. You know, we're walking to and from. It's like, well, little walkways keep our zoysia healthy and give us something to walk on, and we're talking about ground level, which is no higher than grass, so it's not an obstruction, it's not a structure, it's not something you're building, and I understand the whole idea of the free flow of air. I mean, you don't want somebody putting a shed in your front yard, of course, so structures coming out of the ground, yes, but anything ground level, be it a deck, be it grass, be it gravel, to me seems, should be wide open. I don't see why anybody's having to have anything to say about it.
Where are the walkways located? Are they in the right of way or are they on your property?
There will be one little part of it that will be on the right of way if we get it approved like we want it to be. It's 4 foot wide and it goes out to the road on one side. Our current driveway is 16 feet. So we have 8 more feet to play with, and John said go around and take some pictures yesterday, so he did. We have some pictures of, there's a sidewalk on a house that's just a couple blocks away from us that has a concrete sidewalk coming all the way up to the street. Ours is going to be just a deck that the water goes through. Ground level.
Well, if they produce a site plan, the site plan that I saw appeared to show every bit of the decking that they wanted to be approved, extended into the setback and partially over the property line, in my opinion. As far as the, and which ties directly into what we're talking about here with structures and the setbacks and how they should be restricted. And as far as the gravel, extra gravel parking lot, I believe that was about a 20-foot area that went from the side of the house all the way to the street that they wanted to put gravel in there. And the primary reason for that, Mr. Frixel told me, was for parking. They've already got a 16-foot driveway. You're allowed to have up to 24 feet going across town right-of-way, which is where we arrived at the 8 feet left that he could put in. And, I mean, that's kind of that.
But the argument with the 8 feet is the rest of it's just gravel. I mean, how are you going to define In other words, if we say, okay, here's 8 foot of gravel, there's your driveway, call it that. Well, then if I put gravel on each side of it, what's, why do I have to put gravel? Why does somebody say, well, you gotta put something different? So to delineate my driveway, or, you know, I want gravel on the other side of my driveway. I want gravel on the other side of that driveway. What's, there's nothing that says I have to put grass there. And I still contend if I want to do my whole yard in 3/4 inch granite, I can designate an area and say that's the parking area. And I know people, there's somebody down the street that's done their whole yard in gravel. I mean, they undid it, the new buyer, the new owner, but there's nothing in the code that I've read that says you can't do your all your area and the right-of-way and the setback and your yard in gravel. I mean, we're the ones that have to maintain the right-of-way, the setback, and the yard. So we have to, if we plant grass, we have to have it mowed, we got to irrigate it, we got to install it. So if we choose gravel in some areas, why should that be objectionable? It's permeable, it doesn't violate the 6535.
If it's part of a landscaping plan, it surely is applicable. But the way you presented it to me, it was as a driveway.
Well, then I misstated it. So, all right, let's not call it a driveway. Let's call it an area of granite.
Which is the way it's drawn.
I mean, we're not trying to make a concrete driveway. We're like trying to make an area to get our vehicles in. I mean, if I decide to move it to the right, can I do that? There's no concrete driveway there.
So if you had that as a landscaping plan, there's some driveway, we're going to put granite here, we're going to put some granite over here.
Just to give you guys some
got a little grass all over on the side.
A better idea.
We can start parking there.
Yeah, we don't have that.
Do what now? What was it?
If you put the granite in as right. Landscaping.
Yeah, which is basically what it is.
Right, and then you started parking on it.
Yeah. Well, what if it was grass? I can park. Everybody does.
You can park
on your grass. So I can park on grass, but not on gravel. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, we can show you the picture of people parking in the cars. They don't have any grass because they park there, and the grass dies, and they got the tracks. That looks like hell. I mean, we're trying to make our place a good, and I'm saying by putting gravel down, we're providing a place to park that doesn't cause us to destroy our lawn, and we have a place to park.
The yellow is the gravel.
So the issue is that designated driveway is out of code, but we have too much.
Probably. Well, that's not. Well, then I'll rename it whatever you want to call it. We'll call it whatever you want.
Granite,
we'll call it a granite area. I mean, I'm not trying to pick this apart, but you got. I mean, this is ridiculous to say. I've got to designate a portion of the granite as the driveway. I mean, what's the difference?
Well, you don't have. I mean, we're talking about this over here.
Right.
Right.
You don't have the word driveway on that.
I know. We don't.
You just say.
You're correct.
Well, I did tell her that all the rights to John. I did say we're going to park there. I mean, we are going to park there. But I didn't want to designate a driveway. It's just an area that we could park our vehicles.
The plan is to come in your driveway and pull over here.
Either that or come off, you know, I's right there, so.
Oh, this is.
Yeah. So there's a street there.
Yeah, we have a corner lot.
Can I ask why? I mean, it looks like you've got plenty of parking in your driveway. Why would you want to?
Well, we got two cars and a travel trailer, and yeah. I heard, like Carlene said, we hate the idea that, I don't even like the idea that Kira Beach allows median parking because the medians look like war zones. So we don't want to use the Kira, you know, the medians in between the road, and to put two cars and a travel trailer in the driveway isn't possible.
Yeah, we have a narrow driveway because we only have a one-car garage. We would have done a two-car garage, but there's not room because it's a corner lot, and the technical front of our lot is on I. Even though we have a
But if somebody had an all-grass, if ours was all-grass and I parked six cars on there, would there be any? Would I be in violation of anything? Because everybody else in Kira Beach does it. You can drive down the street and see four cars parked in the front yard on the grass. So what's Why is that more acceptable than something strategically planned and...
What's the rule book? What's the rule book? Talking 24 hours on the right way.
That only applies. The only time that we run into problems with that is on beach accesses. Whereas anywhere else, there are no rules, really.
Before I forget, one other thing on the landscaping, this is just because I know John had said it was frustrating with all the, we've taken some pictures of the violations. And when I was getting my estimates from landscape contractors, and maybe you guys get hundreds of them, but I talked to three, I won't name them, but all three of them said they'd never, they looked at me like I was nuts when I mentioned landscape permit. So I don't know whether these guys, and I'm not talking about structures, I'm talking about whether they're doing shrubs and rocks and gardens and whatever. But they kind of told me that, no, I don't ever apply for a landscape permit. Maybe that's part of the issue that we're seeing so many things around that are just being done because they don't, they just feel they're doing what they're supposed to be doing and, they should be coming.
Sticking up in the metal sticks, sticking up in the, around the corner, down the road. We have a little thing on our corner, but that was permitted. That's why John informed me I needed a permit for my little corner, so I got one. And so I knew he needed a permit.
But maybe these guys aren't getting the information to really, because my guy said he didn't even know he needed to. So that's just a little aside, that maybe some information could be put out to them.
Well, usually the first couple to come in here into the planning and zoning and 3 years I've been active.
Really?
And talked about a landscaping permit. Not that people don't need them or use them, but we don't, get citizens coming in and asking to adjudicate between them and Mr. Batson or them.
Well, I don't believe that's what the Fritzels are asking for. If they were, we'd be at the Board of Adjustments. Because of the topics on the agenda, I told them this might be in their best interest to show up. You are certainly not here to adjudicate between them and I.
Exactly.
What about the, you said it's a wooden walkway that crosses it?
The deck.
Now, I considered when I did that drawing, I thought that would be part of the 8 feet that we had left, if you wanted to consider that a little more of something, but it's not a structure, so.
So I think it's fair to note that what you're looking at there is the only thing that I've seen also, which is, it says it's to scale, but when I pulled up the property drawing or the overhead shot, it looks like a lot of what he's drawn there is on town right away. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah.
I did pull my survey out.
I informed Mr. Fritzel that of what was getting ready to happen at tonight's meeting and asked him to come in and tell you that he's concerned with some things too, because that's what we're meeting for.
Right.
I don't think now is the time or the place to figure out if what he's doing is legal. Correct me if I'm wrong. That's
absolutely correct.
I believe they should just be voicing their opinion on what we've got in front of us on the agenda today.
And I would agree with that too. As we were going through all the code yesterday, there's a lot of things that John said to go around and find pictures. We certainly appreciate the fact that we want it. I've been here for 23 years and Steve and I have been here since 2005. We don't want the place messed up. We don't want things out in the front yard. And, there's problems with the corners when you have shrubberies and flagpoles and sheds and all sorts of things out in the front yard. So I totally agree with John. That's why we came tonight.
Okay. Do you mind if I ask a couple of questions? Excuse me if I'm being redundant, but with respect to the application for the landscape permit, you would understand that that's his decision.
Oh, absolutely.
And that if you disagree, you can appeal it to the Board of Adjustment.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that the purpose tonight is, in conjunction with your
permit application. If you think there are instances where you need to be in the setback or the right-of-way, and the fact that we're going to talk about that for the first time in tonight in terms of possibly amending it, then your presence here could be helpful, because you could make suggestions out of your own situation for...
Right, that's why we're here.
Okay. So we're not here to get a permit.
No, so that's John's job.
Rather than talk about whether you have a permissible right to use granite or grass, can you pinpoint certain concerns that you can recommend to this board as they start looking at the issue?
Yes, I feel that I've been here long enough, and we've been around the rodeo and done a lot with our house, and we also have a Siege House rental house on Fort Fisher that we've remodeled with John's permission.
So coming out of the context of your application, what particular concerns with respect to setbacks do you think this board should begin considering tonight?
I think, let me think so I don't use too many words here. I think it's just my thing, and I've said this to Steve today, so I guess this would be my biggest contribution I could make. We have a little old house. The new houses that have been built are taking up so much, up to the permit lines on the builds. So when they get all done and they move in, and then they say, oh, I'd be delighted to have an outdoor shower, a pergola, a shed, they have not allowed for that in their building plan, whether it's out of ignorance or out of wanting an extremely large house. So that would be one thing that I would say is would definitely be causing the problem. For us personally, we have a little house. We have quite a bit of yard space, free space, air space, right away. It's a little wonky for us because our address is on 6th, and it took us a few years to figure out with John's help. We were really on I, but our address is not I. It just isn't. So, I mean, the house deed was not that way. So that took a little bit of, like, what time? But I think as far as what you all are talking about tonight, I think that's a huge part of the problem. I don't know how the text would be amended to address that. The only thing with us personally then would be if you wanted to specify what sort of ground covers, ground level covers were acceptable, then and throw that in.
One other question. The proposed walkway, or whatever you call it, with the decking, so to speak.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Is that in a setback on your sketch plan?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And
our feeling with that is, if you read the code as it is, unless you change it, is that it basically says, they basically, in my opinion, is saying nothing to come up out of the ground. In other words, sheds, pergolas, structures,
sticks,
etc. So anything that's ground level, be it granite, be it grass, be it a walkway, should be acceptable, I would think, because you're not causing that issue to happen, because you're not building something. I remember the last meeting, I guess some gentleman had the pergola. And of course, that's a structure. So, but I mean, we're not asking for anything that the way the code is written now, in our opinion, is exactly, should be legal. So if you wanted to change it.
On your plan, walkway is part of the granite or gravel or grass or something?
Well, it's a material that we're using instead of grass.
So now there are homes with walkways that are basically small decks. You know, they're a foot and a half
raised off the ground.
And some of them are ramps for handicap access.
And as they talk with in the setback definition, they talk about the free flow of air and firefighting and all that. And of course, anything that's raised up out of the ground would be a hazard.
So,
and in the word structure,
right,
they make an exception for fences.
Yeah, for example, if you look at the definition of structure, shall mean anything constructed or erected, the use of which requires location on the land. would it be your point that maybe this board ought to revisit the definition of structure? Because one of the things you're contemplating is constructing something in the setback.
Yeah, that's why we re-looked up the definition of the word deck in the code, which is not structure.
So. But I think it's the definition of structure that might be creating an issue for you.
Yeah, it's, some of it is just the ambiguity of it that gets everybody, and I think a lot of folks are that way. Between setback right-of-way and yard, you've got a definition for yard, you've got a definition for setback, which aren't the same. Close, but not the same.
Well, they're used in conjunction.
Right,
but they're different areas.
Well, it's a good point about the
setback. Setback is the required yard.
Right.
That's right.
You all make a good point regarding defining the word structure. Because the nice gentleman said, of course, a pergola is a structure. Well, the person in here arguing for this structure, for his pergola, said, of course, a pergola is not a structure.
Yes, that's true. But if you look in the code, a pergola is a structure. A deck is not. So you might want to address making a deck a structure if you want to, you know, get your text word changed.
We just felt, all in all, we weren't violating the spirit of the whole thing because everything stays flat. You know, we're not, it's not grass, it's just gravel, and it's just a ground level deck. So nothing, no elevation changes, no obstruction, nothing coming up out of the ground. It's just the materials we've chosen. And that's what we think, or I think, that every resident should have that right. In other words, why not? If he wants a piece of deck and it's just like that, or if he wants three-quarter granite, or if he wants grass, they all those things do not violate what we've all read in that code that I can see. Simple as that.
Any other questions?
But are you also asking them for a relook at what a driveway is?
No.
Consider, okay, you're not, okay.
We didn't find it.
No,
is there a definition? Because I could.
Well, it talked about the width.
Right, but there's no driveway definition.
And it is the width. That's what you're doing is you have, John, am I right on that? They have a width now, and when they add this other driveway, then they're out of the code for that. Right.
When they add the extra 8 feet, which they say is an extra 8 feet, but they want to use it for parking.
Parking, what they say for parking.
But with that 8 feet, with the driveway thing, isn't it sort of under the presumption that you're going to do some kind of hardscape, like you're going to do concrete, or, you know, isn't that what they're meaning by a driveway? Not whether you put down gravel and then drive on it to park.
No, I think the definition of a driveway is that's what people use for driving into their yard parking. You know, that's a basic assumption for the word driveway.
Regardless.
So it's not construction material.
Right. Right.
Well, then that would be another thing to address in your text changes.
Okay.
So, John, do you want me to just, and then we'll go sit down, do you want me to read through all that with a different, like, take the right-of-way part of and we'll move on to
whatever y'all planning on doing, I need to see it on scale. It shows a clear delineation of your property line.
Okay,
and right
you
away.
Want it bigger.
That side is fine. I don't mind that. It appeared to me what was wrong, extended over the property lines.
Okay, so you want it within the property line?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Well, I need to see what you're doing on town right away.
Yeah, we'll just read it and I'll talk to you. So we don't just need.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Good experience.
Okay, gentlemen. Anything under old business? Okay, new business. Talk about text amendments regarding the setbacks and structures in response to different residents. We have a couple of attachments. One, the letter from the gentleman regarding his pergola. Mm-hmm.
one, a letter from Mr. Batson, doing what we asked him to do, to take a look at the control of setbacks. And if the members got a chance to read section 19, chapter 4, or section 4 of chapter 19, regarding setbacks and how to make changes. I don't know where we think we're headed regarding, I mean, granted, if there's a change to be made, we can recommend that to the council. I read through that material. I didn't have any heartburn with it at all. It's where the issues come. For instance, I'll use the example of the gentleman with the pergola. He put it up. Strict definition is that's a structure, and it's in part of the set. Now he can go to the Board of Adjustment to work that issue. I don't think, personally, that's a planning and zoning issue now that he's built it. He is not in compliance with my understanding of the definition of setback and the definition of structure. I don't know what the rest of you think about that.
I agree. I mean, we're going to look at what things in setbacks. It's not this pergola. It's just whatever.
Right.
That's why I said from the beginning it's not going to be a one-week thing.
Well, I think it does raise an issue. And again, you know, I'm a big fan of planning for future issues. And I think what we're seeing here is that just like in exotic animals and stuff like that, we're now getting some issues that would perhaps suggest we need to review some of the definitions of the code. Again, a lot of what we see in our code and ordinances were written many, many, many years ago when these sort of issues didn't really take place. And we've got a couple issues that were just raised tonight, such as parking on grass. Is that something that we want? Parking on mediums. The idea of the definition, should a pergola, be allowed in a setback or other sort of things. So I think it generates a lot of, in fact, what the board should be doing, which is, in fact, looking at our codes, our zoning, and these sort of things in anticipation of trying to make the community a better place to live. I think you're absolutely right that once it's up, it's really out of the control of planning and zoning. It becomes more of a legal issue. But it does raise issues that I think we need to look at in terms of some of these type of definitions and rethinking some of the wording.
Well, continuing along that theme, Craig, the pergola issue, let's say we just work to change the phrase. It's a pergola is an exemption like a fence, or pergola does not count as a structure. I think we ought to look hard at changing or modifying the dimensional requirements. Because if you just put the word pergola out there, is allowed in the setback. Now this particular individual that came in and showed us his pictures and stuff, 10-foot setback, this pergola is maybe 2 feet into that. But if we just have a blanket statement saying pergolas are okay, then maybe the next guy builds one that's 30 by 30 and goes all the way to the fence. And we would not like that one, but we would like this one. So we're ready.
Can I ask a question? Because when you look at setbacks, since this is a setback discussion to some extent, John, I appreciate, and I think you sell yourself short on your comments here. I'm a big fan of staff recommendations. I've served on a lot of commissions and been elected official before, and I think staff who's out there in the trenches and working with these folks on a regular basis really can bring a lot of insight in terms of what your recommendations are. So I kind of disagree with you on this one, but I certainly respect your opinion. when you look at the setback definition that, you put here, it says setback should mean the distance required to obtain. So there's certain objectives to a setback. And they're defined right here. To provide for runoff control, health, safety, firefighting, free flow of air, and adequate off-street parking. If we just use that right there, let me just ask a question. Does a pergola of what is being, and I can anticipate this perhaps as being the board adjustment discussion too, does this pergola violate any of those objectives for a setback?
I believe so.
Okay. And which one?
It can vary between firefighting and off-street parking primarily. But I think more importantly, if you look at you know, what we've got zoning enforcement and setbacks for, is so that people are not on top of each other with different structures like this.
No, I certainly see safety and firefighting,
yes,
as the key ones here.
Yes.
In terms of being able to get to back yards and move equipment back and forth if you need to and so forth. Okay.
I have a question. Would a pergola require a building permit?
I would require a permit, yes.
And a walkway in the setback? Well, the construction of a walkway, would that require a permit though?
Require that to be a landscaping permit.
How about a fire pit?
Fire pit is not something that I would normally.
So it's not a structure, but it's above ground level.
If they brought me something that showed a full brick oven fire pit, as I've got noted in here, and got it on the property line in the rear yard, no, that is not getting permitted, and no, you're not allowed to do it.
Because that would restrict firefighters, potentially firefighters.
I would think
built up or a fire pit wouldn't.
One of the things you might also want to look at is the setback is controlled by building permit, not other permits. So if you were concerned, for example, about a walkway in the setback and a walkway didn't require a building permit, you have to revisit that as well.
Well, when I say permit, I'm tongue-in-cheek for zoning permit, mm-hmm. landscaping permit, any kind of permit that we issue.
That's what I'm saying, but the definition limits it to just building. And it may be better to broaden it to include permits, other permits. Control setbacks, any structure requiring a building permit shall not be permitted in the setback area, with the exception of fence and beach walkovers. So if I've got a walkover, like the public just commented on, and I want to put it in my setback, but I don't need a building permit, I might need a landscape permit. Do I have an issue there? Is that something that you all need to look at? In addition to other things.
Well, I think a beach access walkover is structural to me. I mean, those are built. Particularly the ones that, of the houses that are built along the beach, and you're going to walk over the dunes, those all have wooden structures as the walk,
and there
not just a plowed path.
And they're accepted in the control of setbacks provision. Any structure requiring a building permit shall not be permitted, with the exception of fences and beach walkovers. Question is, what type of walkover you heard about tonight, do you want that in a setback or not? Just hypothetical.
I think if we're going to look at this, I'm asking you, you have to use the worst case scenario, you know, 5 foot setback or 10 foot setback. So if you're thinking about size of the structure, I mean, we have to assume that people are going to be building houses right to the 10 foot setback line. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to allow a shed to encroach 5 feet into that setback, someone's not going to build a 5 foot shed in the back. You want to be able to walk in front of it. So I don't think it works. I don't think the setbacks are big enough.
Part of the issue, like the folks were talking about, mostly, they have a small home, and a lot of people build a home, get a permit from a building inspector to go right up to the max dimensions, and then after they have this nice house there, they want to add, and they probably don't come back and ask permission.
Oh no, I'm chasing that stuff down all the time. You mentioned shower enclosures all the time.
I don't have a problem with the walls, with a deck on the ground, but it was a pool deck or...
Yeah, I have less of a problem with the deck because of, again, that's not going to restrict firefighting or some of those issues. But, I mean, if you have a structure that can't be moved, you know, easily, you know, a blow-up inflatable pool for kids, you know, obviously could be. But, you know, then I think it defeats the whole purpose of why we have a setback, which, again, is runoff control, health, safety, firefighting, free flow of air, and adequate off-street parking. But anything that would restrict those six or seven items right there, you know, I do see as an issue. You know, I'm not sure if debt does restrict those issues. So, but I think it's certainly something that, you know, again, John, I appreciate, but I think since you already mentioned that you're out there daily dealing with this stuff, I'd really like to hear your opinion as to.
That's part of the reason I put put the zoning sections in there. I mean, primarily 19-4. What do we have zoning for if we're not going to have something that's uniform?
I would agree. I'm a fan of trying to make things better for the town of Kerry Beach and to make it more attractive for homeowners and residents here.
I guess my point about the, you know, the low decking, if you can landscape your yard and put bushes in and do whatever you want back there, that's probably more of a problem for firefighters than a deck that you can just walk on. Mm-hmm. So, someone's going to do a lot of talking to tell me that you can allow pergolas and sheds and that stuff in a 10-foot setback. Because if one person puts it on the setback, the next person puts it in the setback, they're both touching each other. Then, that's my opinion. I deal with it every day. I know there's issues with heat pumps being in the setbacks and new construction and stuff. But I've been doing it 22 years and I've never had mine in the setback.
We've had to push a couple around, haven't we, Al? We've had to push a couple around, haven't we?
Oh, yeah, I just did. I had to push one 6 inches in Carolina. But I could push it.
Archie, the one thing John said I think is missing from that setback, and I thought the same thing. John said to keep the separation between the two. You know, nothing says to provide for health, safety, firefighting. It doesn't say to keep that distance between you and your neighbor, which I think that's an important thing. Well, both neighbors want that, and that should be a reason why. I mean, it says the definition of a setback. What's it for?
Airflow. This covered under the purpose and authority of the zoning ordinance. And it talks about, let's see, what's it say? Overcrowding of land, undue concentration, blah, blah, blah. That's part of the reason
I wanted to put that on the north side. Your neighbor has 10 feet on his side, then you have 20 feet.
Right. And again, you have to be careful about the language because townhomes are attached and that doesn't have anything. So, you know, you got to write it in such a way that it really kind of classifies. I think actually this is the areas where our ordinance seems to be pretty well written. I don't think there's a lot of room for, at least when it comes to the setback issue, what's allowable and what's not allowable. It seems to be pretty well written. The only one that I would, just simply looking at the seven or eight reasons why we have it, the only one that I would kind of consider maybe talking about is some sort of a decking on the ground, because it doesn't seem to impinge on any of those things.
So I've allowed things like that before, particularly when they have zero room based on the house being an older house. Mm-hmm. I would love to see something like that in the ordinance.
Right.
Because
in-ground pools, are they allowed in the setback?
In-ground pools are not allowed in the setback.
Again, I can see that restricting a fire truck or something like that back there, but a deck, it's run over.
When you say pool, you're talking edge of water to the edge of the water.
Yes, sir.
Not the deck part of the pool and the fence beside it.
The pool itself.
Okay. I don't have a problem with the pool. Given the setback.
Are there any other issues related to the setback, definition of structure, anything like that, that you feel, based upon your experience, that would need to be tweaked in terms of writing? Or, I mean, again, it seems pretty clear to me, unlike some of the other things we've looked at.
It's clear to me too, Commissioner. I'm glad it's been coming up, because I'm going to continue to send people to you, because this is a constant conversation that I have several times a week, minimum, with different property owners.
Any tweaking of the word structure? Let me ask the attorney also, is there anything here that you think could be better written in terms of definitions to make things a little more clear? Without changing the intent, but simply when things seem to be falling through the cracks at all?
My knee jerk was that the definition of structure can probably be, I guess if you're asking me to give an off-the-cuff opinion for a topic that's just being discussed for the first time, the three things that jump out at me are: can we tweak the definition of structure to accommodate some of the issues that John's running into? Can we tweak 19.320 control of setbacks for the same purpose? And do we need to make 561, which is the requirement for a building permit, sync up with any changes we do for structure or control setbacks? For example, 561 reads, except as provided, yada, 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 no building repairs, remodeling, installation, driveway, and again, we have that intent issue, parking lot or other ground covering impervious surface. Do you get into the weeds there about what material they use on their walkway? Does that trigger a building permit if it's impervious versus impervious? The three things that jump out at me is look at structure, look at control of setbacks, and maybe tweak the language of 561, which requires a building permit, to make sure the text is consistent with each other. But one of the limitations I have answering that question any more fully is I'm not really privy to the issues John runs into on a daily basis, and I think it'd be helpful to have an articulation of those before we start tinkering. If we have a common problem that comes up all the time but doesn't seem to detrimentally impact the reasons why we have setbacks, it would be good to know what those common threads are, so when we go in and start amending the text, we can cover that.
Well, let me ask John, are there, you know, when you're talking with residents and discussing this issue, and you said you do on a daily basis, are there any areas in our code that you see are kind of fuzzy where you have to dance around or not quite be as clear about it?
Mr. Frixel brought one up just now. Okay. Our 30-minute conversation yesterday, I was dancing all over the topic, and he knew it. Right. That's why he's here tonight.
That's more of a driveway issue rather than a setback.
Let's play with that for a minute. What topics were you dancing around? Driveway was one of them. Was the walkway?
What is the intent of our setbacks and our required yards? That's a question for you. What should be in our required yards and our setbacks? What are they there for?
And the definition provided sounds reasonable.
Let me ask this question.
A serious question.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Take the policy articulated in the code of why we have setbacks. Now, what about this very minor issue? Somebody wants to put a walkway in that setback. Does that raise any issues for you in terms of the policy of the setback?
We have portions of our ordinance that provides for allowing sidewalks within our setbacks.
Okay. In that instance, we would want to go back and look at building permits, structure and control setbacks to make sure that walkways was not an issue, given ambiguity.
But I want to get back to the question that I just asked you, which is, what are our setbacks and our required yards for? They are one and the same. We have different setbacks in different areas, which is why you see required yards in some places. They're to be used in conjunction with each other. They are this one and the same. So, what should be in those areas other than a fence or a driveway? What are we looking for? I think Ms. Fritzl hit it on the nail a little while ago. She felt like what they were requesting met the spirit of the community. Well, what is the spirit of our community? Because based on what I saw on that map yesterday, please don't hold this against me, I saw what they were wanting to do was to put a deck over the majority of their yard all the way up to the property line. And on the other end of their yard, they wanted to install gravel across the majority of their end of the yard all the way to the edge of the pavement.
Well, I from my opinion, I do see two different issues. We spent a long time talking about driveways several years ago.
Yes.
About the width of them, whether they're pervious, impervious. We had people coming in talking about materials that would be pervious materials that could be put down and stuff like that. The whole idea of that is a driveway is where people park, okay? And so I do have a problem, and it's not really a setback issue, but I do have a problem that something needs to be considered, I think, in terms of people parking in other areas of their yard that is not designated driveway. I mean, I don't think it's attractive. I think it creates a lot of problems. And, you know, negates the whole discussion that we have, spending a lot of time talking about driveways and the width driveways and preventing. It is a task, but it's a separate issue from the setback, you know, issue, I think. You know, the setback issue, I think, is a health, safety, you know, I think we've defined the issues related to setback. And so I don't have any problem, having gravel in a setback area, as long as they don't park on it, I don't have a problem, okay? If they park on it, then that defeats the whole purpose of the notion of parking, driveway, and stuff like that. But, you know, once you start talking about firefighting, safety, health, runoff control, and things like that, I think we need to be very specific so you don't have any confusion or these gray areas that when you talk to people. My opinion, the only thing that I think that could possibly be in a setback that doesn't impinge upon those categories of safety and firefighting would be some sort of a decking. But I think anything else that's not a decking, you know, we have somebody else suggesting maybe a pool might satisfy that requirement. That would be open for discussion. But I think, right now, with the exception of maybe tweaking some of the definitions, I mean, we pretty much prohibit those sort of things that would impinge health, safety, firefighting, and that sort of thing. But I do think that the parking and the driveway issue are a separate issue from the setback.
How would you, if I've got a driveway, and I don't know your all's driveway, but what I thought I heard was you can have a driveway up to 24 feet wide?
Across town right-of-way, mm-hmm. And it can be up to 36 feet wide on your property.
So if I've got a concrete driveway that's 20 feet and I want to put gravel on either side, is that going to be, because I was limited to begin with, is that going to be driveway because I'm going out to the prescribed width? How do you figure that out? Because they may come back and say, no, that's not driveway. I'm going to use it for a walkway, and you go ahead and approve it then, and all of a sudden you got parking on it.
Right, but then you have to enforce a non-parking on it.
Perfect example for why I asked the question a minute ago. What kind of things, materials, landscaping, do we want to see in our setbacks and our required yards? Or are we looking for anything like that?
Well, I live in an HOA, and they're very, very specific, and I think the HOAs are, you know, have done a pretty good job in terms of grass and other type of shrubbery and separating driveway and that sort of thing. But, you know, not being in an HOA, I'm a big fan of making things as attractive for the community as possible. And parking...
Well, you know, what you do is you just prohibit parking in the setback.
I think I would prohibit parking outside the designated driveway. Personally.
Then where do you park?
Where do you park?
Well, you got a designated driveway.
Pardon me?
I mean, you got a designated driveway, which, you know, but if you have two cars in a travel trailer,
and then you have guests come over, then they're going to park in a median. Fury Beach land. I mean, just...
Well, when I have guests come over, they park in various parking places in Fury Beach.
Where?
We don't have any various parking places.
You will pretty soon.
That's where a lot of people's problem is. You'll see cars lined up four across in the front yard. They don't have anywhere to park. So they park on the grass. Now, unless you're going to provide parking...
And it's in there, adequate off-street parking. That's it.
I agree, but that's a separate discussion, in my opinion, from setback.
No.
Okay, the parking issue is a different issue than setback issue.
No, thank you.
Because the setback would have to be used for it, because there would be no way to avoid it.
No, that would be, forgive me, but that parking in a setback would be totally counterintuitive to the policy.
Absolutely. I mean, that defeats fire running.
If you've got a travel trailer there and you're in a setback, how can a fire engine get in there? Especially if you're not home.
From the front of the house, I've got 7'7" to the beginning of the setback. Now, how do you park a car in 7 feet?
I thought you just
up against the brick of the house.
I thought you just said that there would be parking in the setback.
I mean, the setbacks would have to be allowed to be used.
The setbacks are fully intended to be used for parking.
Right.
That's why
it says for parking. Yeah. That's the setback definition.
I'm like, wait a minute.
That's why the front setback is always 20 feet in all residential districts.
Yeah. That's also why we restricted the third to 36 feet.
That's
right. Exactly right.
So we wouldn't encroach into the 5 foot setbacks on the sides and not allow flow down the sides of the house. That's why
we've got a 1,989 square foot house, cottage, and barely have room to, when we park. I mean, there's 5,000 square foot lots. It's
5,000
square foot lots. So, I mean, with a 1,000 square foot cottage, we're struggling to park. Think about, you know, somebody that has that's, I guess, overbuilt. But, I mean, that's a big problem.
I've been a planning commissioner in communities where there's a 5,000 square foot lot and they put a 4,000 square foot house on. Okay, so, I mean, these are...
Well, it happens down here all the time.
John.
Sure. When the 36 foot driveway is, can I have 220s? Or
you can have 218s.
218s.
That go to 12 feet once they go over your property.
36 is total driveway area.
Yes, sir.
Okay. 36, that is
because
a big...
I never measured
parking area, right?
I bought a house that has two separate driveways.
So we put that in by design so that people did not concrete their entire driveway. Right. But 36 feet, our parking requirement is 9 by 20 is considered a parking space. That's why we decided to do 36 feet wide. That is four parking spaces directly in front of the house.
Right. And that's pretty wide.
But they're talking about parking in the right of way. Not necessarily the setback.
Right.
Their setback is incorporating the right of way.
And part of what they're planning on doing is incorporating our right-of-way based on drawing that I saw. Yes.
And I can understand why you have a problem with that, because it's not delineated.
But the argument is if I had planted grass, and like everybody else, and just parks on it, you don't have anything to say about it. There's no ban on that, right? You can just drive right on the grass, and that's what a lot of people do. And then they don't take care of the lawn, and they don't mow it, and it looks like hell, and there's ruts and mud and sand.
You just justify the problem, I think, of why we need to talk about this, because it is unattractive.
I mean, it's true. We probably thought about making those medians into the nice parking, you know, instead of those, making it just...
It's going to be talked about quite a bit here shortly.
Yeah. Is it?
I mean, that would be a great... You know, that median runs all the way down, and that would, there's tons of parking there, which could be used by beach goers and residents alike. But right now, it's just, you know, people literally get stuck in it because it's just a mess. But if you wanted a solution where people weren't taking their property and making them into parking lots, if you had somewhere to park, I'm sure people would use it because they use it now.
Sir, I mean, this is really just a discussion.
The issue on the pergola sounds like we're saying that since it's built, it's out of our hands.
Right.
Yeah, Well, that particular individual pergola is out of our hands. They need to take that to the Board of Adjustments if they're going to keep it or try to keep it legally. However, go ahead.
I believe Mr. Gates came to you to express his frustration with the ordinance and tell you that he was planning on possibly putting in for a text amendment.
Right.
You, as the board, volunteered to just put it on your agenda and revisit whether or not you wanted to change the ordinance that would accommodate something like he has built. So if you're saying that you're not changing the ordinance, then that's kind of what I'd like to hear right now.
We're talking about doing a text amendment, but not maybe for low.
The fact that it's built or not is not does not have a bearing on what you've got in front of you.
I would make a motion to carry this onto the next agenda and ask the attorney to maybe look at this issue and identify those areas, perhaps talking to John from his experience, where maybe the language could be tweaked a little bit. And then, you know, we can look at that and also have a discussion about decks and or pools during our next discussion about trying to address some of
the only thing I would add to your motion is delete the word perhaps. There's no doubt that I got to talk to John to get up to speed.
Since he had to take out perhaps, then I would like for you to add some direction on where you would like to see us go with this.
I just think that...
Because that's pretty open-ended.
Well, no, I just think that we always need to look back at these, the wording that's been written 20, 30, 40 years ago sometimes, or sometimes we're just missing things, and make sure the definitions are clear, make sure we're capturing the definitions because there's new structures and new definitions coming out, and just kind of look back, and I think the attorney identified three areas that he would suggest that we look at, and we also have a discussion as to whether decking should be exempted from this and or pools, and have that discussion too, but I think we always need to kind of look at the fine-tuning of the wording of some of these issues.
John made the comment that for the poll motion for a poll, you deal with these issues daily.
Yes, sir.
And I would hope that Craig is headed to, and where I would go with that is there something we can do to help you have less gray area or less stress, or tell people. Now, there may be so much ambiguity in these definitions because we're all individuals, and the word structure to some people, like I said, that other gentleman doesn't consider a pergola a structure. It is something that's been built, so I would think it is a structure. He doesn't think it has trouble with the airflow, so he wants to leave it there. That's all a separate issue, but I don't know that tweaking the language is going to help you not have daily issues with the setbacks.
It probably never will cover or encompass every little thing somebody's going to come up with. I probably do need to do a better job of writing down when I have a gray area issue and bring it to the commission. And I will certainly make an effort to do so. I think I haven't had a conversation yet that I haven't had three or four times in probably the last 5 years, at least. So, I mean, I'm pretty good with my arguments on why things can't be and pointing out ordinances for them. The ones that I haven't had too often are like Steve's, Darlene's there, they want to, you know, gravel most of their yard and build a ground level deck on the other most of their yard. You know, those are the things that are weird to me and that are not set out in the ordinance that well. Do I have enough to hold it up and, you know, until we can figure out what to do? I believe so. But, you know, it is, once again, I look back on the ordinances and the definitions and the purpose for what we're trying to accomplish here and me being the first line of defense. I feel like this is exactly what we're doing.
Do you, before we get on to Commissioner Galbraith's motion. Are you contemplating at the next meeting discussing it again or actually looking at drafted amendments? Because I'd be more comfortable discussing it again. Well, I'm more comfortable consulting with John and with John's help looking at the code and trying to define in a broad way what the issues are and come back and share those findings and recommendations about definitions and things like that with you. I think that would...
My intent is to continue the discussion. Okay. I've learned from many years of experience that when you start changing text amendments and or looking at text amendments and writing new ordinances, it takes a long time and you want to get it right. And it's not something that we need to rush into. So what the intent of my motion is to continue the discussion, but with a little more focus in terms of trying to address the... To me, this is not exotic animals, which had a lot of ambiguity in it. This is...
But it could take us long.
It could take us long, yes. But, you know, it's just not as ambiguous, you know, here. But there's always an opportunity to tweak things, and there are some areas that perhaps are
that's helpful.
More ambiguous.
John, would it help if we said to you, the spirit of what's here we support, we're looking for you to do is clarify areas that you think are ambiguous? Or bring to us suggestions to clarify areas.
Well, if you tell me what you think the spirit is first, and I might be able to.
What's written, I believe, is fine, what's there.
So let me ask this question. Does the board have a consensus that above ground level structures should not be in the setbacks? Do we have a consensus on that?
Yeah. I already said that you'd have to do a lot of talking to get me to agree to that.
I
mean, it's tricky here because people have a 5-foot yard and a 10-foot backyard. So, yeah, you consider public safety, but that is your yard. So you also want to be able to enjoy your yard as a homeowner.
Absolutely.
And so, the other thing that I need clarification on, because I missed it, parking is permitted in the front setback. Is that a fair statement?
It's permitted in any setback.
Side and as well?
Yes, sir.
And do we have any issues about recreational vehicles being parked in this district?
No.
Now, help me then. How do we allow parking in a setback when the policies of the setback are to allow airflow and safety and firefighting? Now, I grant you, maybe there's an exception to be made for front setbacks, but why would you allow parking in a side setback given the policy of a setback?
The only time that ever even comes up is in cases such as the Frixel's corner lot. People like to have their house faced a certain way or not, or they have their house faced one way and their garage faced another, and they have a nice, beautiful yard on the front of their house and their driveway to the side. I do have some properties that have driveways on both sides of their property.
Would restrict, and this is just helpful for me, would restricting, rather than say parking is allowed in a setback, could we effectively restrict parking to the driveway? Would that work?
I would like to discuss that on the agenda.
It's really a public safety issue. If you're on a corner lot, it doesn't look really matter. If you're parking on both sides in the setback, for a firefighting issue, you can still get, because you have a road, you can get down the side of that house, you can put that park.
Yeah, but I don't
know. If you've got a 5-foot setback and a 5-foot setback and two houses in there and you're trying to cram a car down the side of that road, then I think that's...
You could fine-tune it in all those different ways. Is it more simplistic to confine parking to the driveway? Period.
That would be my suggestion, but I know there are some different opinions on that.
I'll go back to my question I asked you 30 minutes ago. What are our setbacks and yards? What do we want to see in those? Because I feel like we're getting away from, well, parking is an issue in the setbacks, but what do we want to see in our town right-of-ways and in our yards, our required yards? Do we want to see all gravel? Do we want to see all trees?
I've always had.
Do we want to see grass?
I mean, look, I'm not a personal fan of all gravel on properties. I think it reflects heat. I think it's hot. It's a hardscape. But that's a personal opinion. I find that hard to sit up here and say you can't have gravel in your yard. or to restrict how much gravel it can be, if it has to be split up. So, I mean, if it's in the town right away, that's one thing. Because we used to, 20 years ago, we didn't allow gravel or anything in the town right away, because that was parking.
I could make that argument all day, too, but...
No, we didn't allow, irrigation in the town right away, we didn't allow anything in the town right away. Because that was public parking. And I know you restrict plants from the right away, within an issue. But again, you have flexibility so that people can plant out in front of their little fence, and makes their yard look pretty, makes their house look pretty. So it's not like it's cut and dry. And I don't know where you go with it.
You know, I would probably restrict the budget for less grass and more rock.
Landscape.
More landscaping, more bushes, less bushes, more...
ground cover.
Mulch and stuff like that. We just raised the water rates in this town. And since I'm in an HOA, they require a certain amount of grass, and they require me to keep it watered, or I will get fined. So,
but not even
I'm required to use water, and now water rates run up.
The other side
so I like to put in rock.
The other side of that is trees, grass, plants, they're all good for the environment. Yeah. They absorb water, they drink water, they run okay. All of those things. We don't get that when you got...
Get us back a little bit on track here. First of all, we basically have said we agree with the ordinance and the text amendment. I mean, we have to go back to this gentleman, I think, don't we? Then we're not going to, right now, we're not going to entertain the text amendment on...
I don't think that's correct. If you want to be courteous, you could inform him. If you want to be courteous, you can kind of tell him where the consensus is going.
Okay, that's okay.
But it's up to him. He's got an unfettered right to it.
Right, he can do that. Okay. All right. We can let him know the consensus was that you're happy with the wording on setbacks.
Well, actually, we're not. We're thinking about changing.
Well,
because they didn't want to have lower decks and stuff, so we are thinking about a text.
Well, but from a structure point, we're not.
You could just, I don't know that you're obligated to. I think John can handle him as
a okay, staff. I didn't know what
If I can, I mean, we have a motion on the table.
Yeah, right.
Okay, it hasn't been seconded yet. I think this is a great discussion, but, you know, what I'd like to do is have a discussion with John and the attorney, you know, coming back at least with some. Kind of, and then it allows us to think about it. So again, you know, the motion is to continue the discussion on the next agenda and with some recommendations, you know, regarding of where what we currently have could be improved to make the gray areas less gray and to make John's business a little more straightforward. I think we'll also have a discussion at that particular time about you know, decks and possible pools. But that would come from the attorney or John. So, again.
Okay. Motion made and seconded regarding keeping this on the agenda for the next time we meet.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Now, based upon that, should we communicate to this particular person
what?
About anything that.
Who is this written to?
I believe he wrote that to you guys.
But this is not a request for a text amendment.
Address
it's in there now.
I think if you
want it in the middle of it, he suggests a text amendment.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, but I don't think he's made an application for that.
He has not made an application for it because P&Z decided to put it on their agenda to discuss whether or not to change it.
Right.
So would
I don't think we can respond to him at all. You know, other than we're continuing to talk about it, if he wants to submit a formal application for a text amendment, he can certainly do that. So,
okay, I just feel like he was a little misled at that point then because he brought it up to the P&Z commission and y'all immediately put it on your agenda to look at changing it.
Would it make sense to have a vote or consensus regarding pergolas? I mean, I'm pretty sure the commission would probably not support pergolas because it's above ground structure. But I don't know what the rules and regulations of doing something like this is.
I would defer to how John wants to deal with this member of the public, but one option is to
reach consensus on pergolas, so, and John could communicate that consensus back. It's not a formal action, but he could say, for example, I'm just being hypothetical here, Mr. Gates, please be advised that they did consider it, and although no action was taken, there's a consensus that pergolas may not be a text amendment into the setbacks, and if you want to make a text amendment for that at this time, that council can consider and act on.
I would like to make a motion regarding I guess, informal, what would that be, just so we, I mean, it's not an actual formal vote, but you know, how would we do a consensus?
I think you could just discuss it in the open session and see what the consensus is about taking any action on it. The minutes would reflect that.
Well, we're talking about continuing the discussion on setbacks and how to change the amendment. And are we, you know, when we have a consensus that pergolas don't count,
well, John and I,
down the road, would we re-vote on that as we begin to discuss and get more refined knowledge?
I'd respond this way. John and I asked for a consensus so that we would be guided. One of the things I've taken out of this meeting is that structures requiring building permits seems to be workable as a consensus. The PZC seems to have that consensus. And because it's not a formal action, if later on, as our discussion evolves and you all review and recommend, certainly you could take the action to allow them at that time if that consensus changes. But I think the consensus is there, and John can communicate that to Mr. Gates if John thinks that's the way to go, in order to give him the opportunity to timely seek a text amendment on his own, since he knows where we all might be going.
So we would have that consensus, and then he might come to the council meeting with a proposal?
He would apply for a text amendment, and I think Planning Board reviews that. Plant DZC reviews that, and council acts on that. But let me just ask you, is there a consensus that above-ground structures requiring a building permit currently not allowed into setbacks? Is that the consensus of the board to kind of keep that policy intact?
It is not yet.
It'd be my opinion.
Okay. I appreciate that guidance.
Unless you guys get together and you have, like, you know, 50 applications a year about sheds and pergolas, so we may have to reconsider.
John, me and Toby's
make sure the record reflects that.
Well, I think we, to me, we're not sitting on this guy out of all any structure.
Well, it wasn't really a motion. I was asking more advice on how to communicate the consensus.
John, do you feel like that will, because like I said, I agree with you. He came thinking we were going to do something tonight.
Well, we just did.
So that, well, it's different
opinions than what was. That's fine. The last thing I might say is I don't think I talked to any one of y'all about that particular instance, so I want to put that on the record too.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to number 7, member items. Anybody have an item?
I have one. Okay. Based on the fact that the parking has been removed from the flat, and that we now have private individuals who are looking to place private parking lots in the town, paid parking lots. I'd like to know what the commission thinks about us going to the council and saying we would like to look at, in our planning portion, look at us taking on the option of looking at several town-wide parking policies that could be presented to the council.
Are you talking in reference only to public parking? Not private.
Well, I don't
know. You're
right.
You have the right to an owner.
No, public, this is the public parking area. Yes.
That's fine.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
So, I don't know if Joseph wants to comment on that, what he thinks, but just seems like the, as a resident, the parking ambiguities have been, it's just kind of like hanging out there, nobody's really doing anything about it, and...
Well, there's a lot of studies done.
Yeah, but nothing's ever been done.
Well, if that study's done, and that's why, because it doesn't...
Let me tell you where I come from, and the knowledge I have for the 3 years plus. We had a slap, shoreline access and parking committee. They are not a instituted committee of the town, they're a standing committee, they meet monthly, I think. They have people come on and off their committee dealing with those issues, and they make recommendations to the town council. They don't come through us normally. They put together a couple of parking studies, had a couple of parking studies done from different communities. Their chairman, several of their chairmen over the years, went to other beach towns, over Carolina Beach, saw the types of things going, asked those people to come down. We had presentations on the big screen regarding parking and the potential to raise some money in the town and deal with parking. There was a lot of issues. Some individual parking issues came about from a couple of the condo unit people that said parking in our area is a problem. Folks that come down here on a daily basis from the town. And that was somewhat dealt with, but it didn't result in any changes to parking. The issue of parking along Fort Fisher Boulevard has been a big deal, and whether or not that's run by the state DOT or Curie Beach's parking. When Mayor Swearingen started the idea of a comprehensive plan for the town of Curie Beach, one of those committee or chairpersons, partially because at the meeting that she did to have a big brainstorming session to kick off the planning document, parking was put on a lot of people's sheets of paper around the room. So parking got a guy named as the parking guy. Recently, the town council officially took the parking part of SLAP, shoreline access and parking, away from that committee. So that particular committee no longer officially deals with parking. Along with all of that, I do not know where the comprehensive plan parking subsection stands. I did not attend those meetings. I don't know if that group continues to meet, is on the verge of drafting a parking plan for the community or not. At the last council meeting, there was a long discussion regarding three privately owned lots being used for parking, paid parking, and there was discussion on if the town supported that and participated in it some way, would part of that revenue come to the town and part of the revenue go to the individual owners? And even though it's three separate locations, one owner owns two of them and one gentleman owns the other. One of those was started on his own as paid parking. And that location is beside the Sunoco right down here on the corner.
So parking has been in everybody's ideas for a long time. I, on my own volition, drafted a comprehensive plan for the town and sent a copy, not only hard copy, but electronic copy, to the mayor and the four commissioners. And one of those subsections was called Safe and Convenient Parking. That's what you have in front of you here. It has very little or nothing to do with say, okay, we're going to open up this street. We're going to close down this street. We're going to add paved booths along the beach. It's more of a policy of if you're going to start talking about parking, then yeah, provide safe, convenient flow of vehicles, non-motorized vehicles, encourage parking strategies. So it is a planning, an attempt at a draft or a planning document to say these would be the types of things we should look at to go specifically into parking. So this is certainly not a parking plan for the town of Curie Beach. But and when I gave it to the people, I have no pride of authorship and all this stuff. It's just a draft, throw it in the trash can, or tweak it two words and say, hey, this looks good. My name's not on it anywhere. But there's where we are on parking right now. And I do know that I go to council meetings, and when the SLAP committee presented the two different studies, a couple of the council members, and this goes back to the previous mayor, so it goes back to prior to the Swearingen becoming mayor, so two separate boards that are sitting up here. You know, one gentleman even said that as long as I'm on this commission or this council, there will be no public paid parking. And that's fine. That was his idea. So there was a lot of frustration. Some people think we can make a lot of money. Some people say it's not worth it. You're going to, you know, the opening argument is as soon as you put up kiosks down along that area, it's going to drive parking out into the neighborhood. Oh, this is pretty short walk.
Just a couple quick comments on parking. I've been here for 22 years. I've lived in Curie Beach now for 22 years. When I first moved here, parking was not a serious issue. It has become a serious issue right now for a number of different reasons. One, now we're the only beach community that is a free parking. We don't have paid parking here, and all the other beach communities do. Having been in beach communities on both coasts, I can guarantee you that once you become the only free parking, it creates problems. And one of the serious problems that is never discussed here is gang activity, because what you do is you find gangs do like to come to beach communities. They will go to the community that has the free parking. And I have to say, my wife is a Spanish professor here. She's Mexican. And we're starting to see indications of that here. You know, that there are some things that look like some folks that we probably would not want to have here in terms of gang markings and stuff like that. When I first came here, you know, I was a gang, you know, on the gang graffiti commission for Orange County, California, which has a lot of gang issues. And actually did a lot of work with the police department here, the Wilmington Police Department at that particular time. And so, you know, I can read tattoos and I can read graffiti and things like that. And, you know, you start to see some indications of that. In addition, you know, you're going to attract a lot of day trippers. Some of the day trippers, they're going to park, they're going to bring in their coolers, they're not going to go to local businesses and that sort of thing. So, and quite frankly, I couldn't find a place to park. So the local residents, if they want to go and get something downtown, you know, I mean, you know, you can't find a place to park. So anyway, I would hope that the town council can seriously start looking at the issue. I understand free parking. When I was in high school and college in a beach community, I would drive to where there was free parking. I mean, clearly, I'm poor and, you know, I want to go to free parking. So I'm a fan of free parking until it starts to have a negative effect on the upon the community and the residents here. So I would hope that they could look at that. Personally, I don't think planning and zoning should be involved with this, other than maybe have representation onto an assigned committee. With the exception, however, is if we're going to have people turning their properties into parking lots, there is a planning and zoning issue related to that in terms of how it looks and regulations associated with that.
Well, I would be happy to challenge the council at their next meeting on where are you folks dealing with parking. Do you want P&Z to get involved? Do you want us to draft another plan? Do you want us to have more presentations made? But I personally don't think we should take that, wrap it up, and go spend money or a lot of time creating a plan to present to the council and have them go, wait a minute.
No, we have to be charged.
No, that's what I said, that to talk to the council to see if they would want us as part of our planning function to take this on.
Why don't we only give them the option?
Well, that's a lot of work.
They're the elected people.
You know, that'd be better than left to another committee.
I would prefer to leave it to another committee.
There is no committee. And that's by design at this point. Because Slatt did not want it anymore.
No problem.
And
someone's got to be designated.
And I pushed for that because I feel council at this point needs to get off the pot. We need to make the decision. But you take this.
Is there still a parking committee?
No, there's not.
Okay.
And I would not support the creation of one.
But
council needs to handle this finally and deal with it.
But the gentleman in the small committee he formed to be part of the.
I don't know what happened to that.
Comprehensive.
Yeah. But if you take those three lots out of the equation, 85 spaces, we're down to what, 220 parking spaces left in the town? There's really no way we can make money off that. And the vote for the paid parking lots was 4-1. I was the one person that voted against it because I don't think we would generate enough revenue to go into business. Those people, if they want to do parking, then they take every bit of responsibility themselves. The town is not in it. That's them.
Here's what I'm looking for parking. Number one, like Craig said, we ought to have parking designated in those spots on K Avenue that are for residents all year round.
If you give residents free parking, then you take that much more revenue out of the mix.
No, I'm not saying paid parking at all. I'm just saying when you
say designate a certain area as residents only.
Right.
So I'm gonna run my truck up there every morning at 8 a.m. during the summertime.
Well, I mean, you can always come up with a negative.
I'm trying
to come up with something that the residents during the summertime, and it's just, and also to make it more of an island-wide parking. This should be, both SIT towns ought to be able to come up with a way that both towns can participate in.
That would be the only way I would support paid parking, if residents could park for free. But if you do that, then you take that much more revenue out of the mix.
Well, and I'm not saying paid parking. I'm just saying that nobody's looking at it. And like Craig said, it's become a problem.
There's one thing that's going to happen in the June council meeting.
Here's the other thing I want. On some of our streets, especially where I live, if we don't do something on parking because people are coming in and spending, you can't get a fire truck down.
I get
Settlers it. Now you're into the safety issue and life issue. If we don't come up and say, okay, on certain with streets, there is no parking.
That's going to be more heavily watched now. At the June meeting, we're going to lower parking violations from $50 to $25.
Okay.
They're going to become a civil violation, which means all the money will go to the town.
Okay.
And the police, in the past, someone parks poorly in a beach access, they would get out of their car, walk down to the beach, try to spend time trying to find someone. Is this your vehicle? Because they didn't want somebody to come off the beach and get a $50 violation. That's not going to happen anymore. If you're parking poorly in the wrong spot, you're getting a $25 ticket immediately. There's going to be no more being nice about it, which I think once that spreads social media, that way they will begin to negate some of the problem.
I agree with that.
So hopefully we can make some money for the town off that also.
I'm not saying paid parking is it. I'm just saying that we are just floundering around doing nothing. And maybe that's the best we can do. But at least let's look at it and find out if there are options out there that will help the residents of the year-round residents of the town, number one, promote safety in areas where we shouldn't have parking, overnight parking especially.
I agree with that. I agree with the people that put the stuff in the medians and leave it there for a week. I think that's terribly trashy.
And you know, parking where, you know, like say you have parking on, I have to admit, I'm with Craig, that we are having problems with parking lawns in the village. It just, while you can say, you know, everybody does it, and your driveway, it still promotes a very ugly,
yeah, I get it.
You know, scene on it. So when you go down, so I don't think paid parking's the way, might probably isn't the way to go either, but if, I don't know, it's
you
just,
know, you might be able to think about like 4-hour parking, 2-hour parking,
I mean, all areas, nice
great turnover.
But we put in parking bumpers, you put in the machines, by the time you get the machines paid off, then they're going to be rotten and you've got to buy new machines.
You can go low tech. I mean, you can do the slots. You can do low tech stuff.
There's a lot of low tech.
That thing will
be. You take some property back here that's empty.
Yeah.
You hire 2 more lifeguards so they can.
I mean, you all are.
Not supposed to be anything on that property, is there?
And then they drive, you park back there and they haul you to the beach in a.
It's a tough question.
So is the town of the parking lot?
Yes. You got a problem. You need to talk to the other 4 commissioners. Not me. They voted to approve it. I just don't see $8,000 to $10,000 worth of hassle.
Well, my concern is, what do they do about ADA parking? What do they do about if the town's involved now? Don't they have to abide by that, even though it's a private lot?
Oh yes.
That's they're gonna have. They have to make those. They have to make those corrections.
And what about the liability?
There is. The town has no liability. The parking company is going to take care of all the contract with the town. There's going to be a parking company that takes care of these 3 lots.
As an economist, I think one of the biggest mistakes the towns make is they think of parking as an economic issue, a profit. That's not how it should be thought of. What it should be thought of is it's a social regulation.
We're not going to lose money on it.
Well, we spend money on a lot of other things too, you know, to manage this community. So, you know, there's this knee-jerk reaction that parking has to be a profitable type of thing. I would suggest that the town back away from that and say, what are we trying to achieve with the parking?
Yes.
If there's a cost associated with that, we do a lot of things where we spend money to achieve certain objectives in town. So I think going into the question as this has to be profitable, when we spend money on a lot of other, we're going to build a new fire department, we're spending money on that, it's not going to be profit-making. Okay, so you have to look at
it
that way. And you know, once you understand it that way, then you want to minimize the cost, certainly. And if you can make money, even better. But I think going into the project as thinking that this is a profit-making enterprise, and the town does a lot of non-profit-making enterprises to enhance the community, is a big mistake and one that
perhaps we run in different circles, but you know, I'm not making money in favor of paid parking. I've taken abuse for it, literally.
But yeah. I mean, the safety, like just parking away from the corner down there at our place. You've had people who park around the corner. We've had people say you can't see.
Things like that should be regulated. They should
and
be ticketed.
That's what we need
without
to regulate.
A doubt. Yeah.
And then you have some people who evidently all these cones showed up on Curry Village Way. No parking. Nobody knows
what they mean.
Did the town put those out?
Yeah. Somebody states them out there.
Who did that, and why isn't it?
I didn't know about that.
Point of order.
Yes.
These are member items and comments. And
we're turning
it into a
sorry.
Discussion.
Sorry.
We go all
we're parking video. Yeah.
No, I don't want
to. I do have 2 member items real quick.
Thank you all.
Results from what we did 2 months ago presented to council. I sent you an email, but I do want to emphasize it here. Regarding the exotic animals, council accepted our amendment as the last one that we submitted to. Regarding fences, they accepted the amendment to allow it to go up to 6 feet in the backyard. They did not accept doing away with chain link. And then
I want my
Nope. 6 foot
weren't yes,
PCC,
everywhere.
With barbed wire.
Build that wall. Build that wall.
Constantine wire.
Like animal thing.
Can
you
can
to protect keep
things
like
this, animals. Just real quick, I was back to parking, unfortunately, but there is one section in this code, section 10-234, time limit parking in the B2 and B3 districts. That refers to the Shoreline and Access Parking Committee and coordinate with Chief of Police. what I have in red there, I plan to take to council as a
text amendment?
A text amendment to delete the part that's in red, because there is no longer a SLAP committee. And rather than taking a recommendation from a business owner to the shoreline access, and then on to the chief of police, that makes sense to me. So I'm going to recommend that the council, with this kind of a ethics plan, clean up action.
My only item is I won't be here for the July meeting.
I would like to make a motion that we cancel the July meeting.
All in favor?
Third, fourth, and fifth.
Knew that was coming.
This will be long enough.
Okay.
This will take you a little
while. Give me time to write a part.
There is no July meeting.
John has more time to get those questions ready.
I hear a motion to adjourn. John?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, Stephen, darling, particularly for hanging in there for so long.
You and I have good lunch.
Probably your way.
Are you going to place downtown?